ladies and gentlemen, the Conservative Daily Podcast is back. And now your host, Max McGuire.
So we're back with the second hour of the Conservative Daily Podcast. Going to keep going through this affidavit for the arrest warrant. I see that there is a troll on YouTube. Say the troll's name and I'll be happy to ban them. It's hard to watch and to catch it with the chat going so fast. So just say the name and I'll ban her. Also, we're going to be taking applications. Don't know how we're going to do it yet. For, I guess, Facebook, YouTube, and DLive, whatever platform we're on, for moderators. So if you are on, if you watch the show a lot every day, not every day, but most times, we can make you a moderator so you can actually ban people on our behalf. Because a lot of times, if I'm doing the show solo, I can't catch it as fast. So we'll be figuring out how we're going to do that. Don't send us any information yet, but when we do, I'll let you know, because we're going to try and get some. We're going to try and make the Troll Patrol actually be an official title. So just letting everyone know that is in the works. So we're going through all of these parts of the arrest warrant. And he's really making a big mistake by even talking to them, because he's literally admitting to crimes. He thinks that he is in the clear, but he's actually admitting to crimes. So when he says he walked into the U.S. Capitol, that is a federal crime. Doesn't matter that he followed the crowd. He admitted to it. He confessed to it. There's no like guilty with an excuse when it comes to you're being in an area of federal property that you're not allowed to be in, right? There's no excuse for storming the Capitol. It's a crime. I mean, I guess it could be an actual like revolution, but we're not going to get into that. We'll get banned if we start talking about that philosophy. So that was, I believe, image 27. Let's go ahead and put up image 28. This is what really makes my blood boil. Paragraph 15. Sullivan further stated that he had been present at the shooting of a woman within the U.S. Capitol by a U.S. Capitol police officer and that he had filmed the incident. During the interview, Sullivan showed the interviewing agent the footage he had taken, which Sullivan stated he had uploaded to the internet. The footage showed the area immediately outside the speaker's lobby within the U.S. Capitol. I know from public source information that the speaker's lobby is the hallway from which one can enter directly into the chamber of the United States House of Representatives. The speaker's lobby is set off from the rest of the Capitol building by doors with a glass window. The footage that Sullivan showed the interviewing agent included footage of individuals breaking out the glass from the window in the doors leading into the speaker's lobby, then a gun being discharged by a U.S. Capitol police officer within the speaker's lobby, a woman falling back into the crowd from a position climbing one of the broken windows with a gunshot wound. The woman was later identified as victim one. So he's there. He admits that he was in the speaker's lobby. He admitted that a gun was discharged. He admitted that it was there. Admitting to a crime. We're going to see in a little bit that it's actually a really big deal, because what he said when he was there might have actually contributed to Ashley Babbitt's death. Really, really scary stuff. But he's not being charged with that. So we mentioned earlier that he let police see his gas mask and his vest. Ms. Producer, put up image number 30. This is straight from the affidavit for the arrest warrant of the same picture of the gas mask and then of the vest. And the officer signing the affidavit, the agent, says that he recognizes them from his apartment. And therefore, I can identify this person as him. Therefore, we can prove he was in the Capitol. Again, more evidence that if you say something you think is innocuous, it's no big deal, they will use it against you. Go ahead and put up image number 31, Mr. Producer. At the first moment the crowd breaks through, Sullivan can be heard saying, "They're going in." The video then follows the crowd as they move towards the Capitol building, where Sullivan captured additional scenes of individuals breaking through police barriers. After the crowd broke through the last barrier, and as Sullivan and the others approached the Capitol building, Sullivan can be heard in the video saying at various points, "There are so many people. Let's go. This stuff is ours. F yeah, we accomplished this stuff. We did this together. F yeah, we are all part of this history. Let's burn this stuff down." We said this earlier. Later, video includes footage of individuals climbing a wall, and then he's helping them over and saying, "You are effing savage." So we talked about that a little bit earlier. Let's put up image number 32. Here is showing the screen capture of him reaching out his arm there on the right side of that screen grab, helping someone over the wall. That is literally, he's an accessory to this at that point. He is an accessory to what is going on. An accessory, admitting to it. Put it back up. At one point, Sullivan can be heard telling one of the individuals climbing the wall to give Sullivan his hand, as individuals in the crowd are calling to help people up the wall. The video records Sullivan's entrance into the U.S. Capitol building through a broken window. So you can't say that you thought you were allowed to do it when you entered the building through a broken window. You can't say, well, I thought the doors were open. I thought I was allowed in. I was just following people. He climbed in through a window. And again, not only did he videotape it, not only did he publish the video online, but he gave it to the federal agents, again, to use against him. Pretty incredible stuff. Pretty incredible stuff. So we mentioned that he wants to burn it down. let's go ahead and put up image 33. A lot of the same stuff. Sullivan, once inside the Capitol building, roamed the building with other individuals who unlawfully entered. During one of his interactions with others, Sullivan can be heard saying in the video, "We got to get this stuff burned." At other times, as he's walking through the Capitol, Sullivan can be heard saying, among other things, "It's our house, mother effers, and we are getting this stuff." In addition, several times during the video, Sullivan encounters law enforcement officers who are trying to prevent further advancement through the building by those who entered unlawfully. In at least two encounters, Sullivan can be heard on the video arguing with officers, telling them to stand down so they do not get hurt. Among other things, Sullivan can be heard telling officers, "You are putting yourselves in harm's way. The people have spoken. There are too many people. You got to stand down. The people out there that tried to do that stuff, they got hurt. I saw it. I'm caring about you." At one point in the video, Sullivan enters an office within U.S. Capitol, as seen in the screenshot below. Once inside the office, Sullivan approaches a window, also seen in the screenshot below, and states, "We did this stuff. We took this stuff." Except he didn't say stuff. I'm censoring myself so we don't have to add an explicit tag to our audio podcast. Go to image 34. While at the window, a knocking noise is heard off screen. The camera then pans to show more of the window, and a broken pane can be seen that was not broken on Sullivan's approach to the window. Sullivan can then be heard saying, "I broke it. My bad. My apologies. Well, they already broke a window, so, you know, I didn't know I hit it that hard." No one got that on camera. Sullivan then exits the office. So, he videotapes it. Presumably, he could say that it's not him, right? He could say it's not him. He could presumably say, "Well, they don't know what my voice sounds like," except they do, because the officer talked to him. The officer knows what his voice sounds like. So the officer can then say, "Yeah, I listened to it. This is what it sounds like. It's right. He was there." Again, not trying to give them any ideas, but do not say anything to cops, because nothing you say to cops could possibly make you more innocent if you're already innocent. I'm going to try. We have a image of of Sullivan basically bragging that they're not going to be able to tell it's him. I'm going to see if I can find it. I'll see if I can find it. There's just too much to go through. I skipped it on purpose to get to it at this point. Let me see if I can find it. Oh, yeah. Go to image 18. Image 18. This is how he explained it to his followers on this public forum. "Could be me. Could not be me. Just saying." And then the person says, "But it's on your channel." And Jaden X says, "No, LOL, you don't get what I'm saying. The voice. It could be me, could be my voice, could not be my voice. Just saying." Except that's not the way the law works. When you talk to a police officer and they hear your voice, they can then say, under penalty of perjury, sign an affidavit to the court that they watched the video and it's the same voice that they heard when they interviewed you in your home. So it doesn't work like that. He can't just say, "Oh, they can't tell it's me." Yeah, they can, because you talk to the police because you're an idiot. Sorry. The theme of this is don't talk to the police. We support police, but don't talk to the police. So that was image 18. We kind of went out of order, but I skipped that one at the time specifically to make sure that we could get it. So we have him breaking the window. But they can't tell it's me because it's my voice, even though I just talked to them. Go to image 35. This is really frightening. At another point in the video, Sullivan joins a crowd trying to open doors to another part of the U.S. Capitol, which are guarded by law enforcement officers, as the screen in the screenshot below shows. Sullivan can be heard on video telling other individuals in the crowd, there's officers at the door. Less than 2 minutes later, while officers are still at the doors, and as others yell to break the glass windows in them with various objects, Sullivan can be heard saying, hey guys, I have a knife. Let me up. Sullivan does not, however, ever make it to the doors. Now, I don't know if that was the actual door where Ashley Babbitt got shot, but the fact that they have him on tape saying he has a knife, that's bad, because some of these crimes carry an extra 10 years if you enter with a deadly weapon. But he videotaped it, and he talked to police so they know what he sounds like. Let's put up image 36. Eventually, individuals in the crowd outside the doors announce that the officers are leaving and giving us the building. As the crowd begins to part so the officers can leave, Sullivan can be heard saying, haul that mother effer out of this B-word. At another time in the video, Sullivan is walking down a hallway in the U.S. Capitol with a larger group of people. Sullivan pans to a closed door and can be heard saying, why don't we go in there? After someone hits against the door, Sullivan can be heard saying, that's what I'm saying, break that stuff. Further down the hall, Sullivan can be heard saying, it would be fire if someone had revolutionary music and stuff. So he's literally on camera ordering people, break that door. Why don't we go in there? Someone hits the door and said, that's what I'm saying, break it. And then he's asking around, who has revolutionary music to play? Who has revolutionary music to play? It would be great if we had some background music. This is the guy who wants to be king of the high schoolers on his Antifa chat room. Amazing stuff. This is the part that infuriates me and why he should be charged with accessory to murder. Put up image 37. He, as we said, he was there when Ashley Babbitt got shot. And this is what is found in the actual affidavit for the arrest warrant. In the video, once Sullivan reaches the speaker's lobby where victim one was eventually shot, Sullivan can be heard telling one of the law enforcement officers guarding the doors, as seen in the screenshot below, we want you to go home. I'm recording and there are so many people. They're going to push their way up here. Bro, I've seen people out there get hurt. I don't want to see you get hurt. Eventually, the law enforcement officers begin to exit and individuals within the crowd move towards the doors. As this is happening, Sullivan can be heard yelling at the officers, I want you to go home. And then yelling, go, go, get this stuff. Sullivan then films as others in the crowd try to break out the glass in the entryway door windows. Shortly thereafter, the video includes footage of victim one, Ashley Babbitt, getting shot as she tries to enter through the window opening. So why is this a big deal? One of the charges is actually, let me see if I can make sure I get the right one. I don't want to get fact-checked on citing the wrong law. Let me put up my screen. Mr. Producer, go ahead and put up my screen now. So this is the law that he's first being charged with. 18 U.S.C. Section 231, Civil Disorders. Federal law applies on federal property. He's being charged with A3, which is whoever commits or attempts to commit any act to obstruct, impede, or interfere with any fireman or law enforcement officer lawfully engaged in the lawful performance of his official duties incident to and during the commission of a civil disorder, which in any way or degree obstructs, delays, or adversely affects commerce or the movement of any article or commodity in commerce or conduct or performance at any federally protected function, shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 5 years or both. So when he told police officers to go home, that is when he committed this crime, because he attempted to obstruct, impede, or interfere with a law enforcement officer trying to carry out his duties at a federally protected function. So he literally gave them the evidence. He gave them the video and they watched and said, wow, this guy broke a law. But here's the thing. When he's up there, he's not speaking for conservatives. We've already gone through that. He is not actually a conservative. He is a leftist Antifa type trying to gin up conservatives. He tried to infiltrate. That's why he was wearing a Trump hat, as we showed at the beginning. Well, actually, you know, just in case anyone missed it, do we still have that hat? We'll find it. He was wearing a Trump hat deliberately for counter intel. There it is. Counter intel. He was not there for a peaceful function. He was there to pretend to be a conservative, to try and gin people up. That's my opinion. So When you start making police officers fear for their lives, making them think that you're speaking for the mob, and that if they don't get out, they will be hurt, it is not hard to take what he said and to basically trace it to the federal officer who still has not been named. We still don't know why he fired that shot. But it is logical to say that that federal officer might have pulled the trigger because he watched this guy, John Sullivan, get all the other police officers to leave. That federal officer might have felt that he had no backup anymore. And the minute someone had just climbed over through the window, he felt his life was in danger. But the only reason he was put in that situation was because John Sullivan went up there and told them to leave. That's the argument. So you can trace it. It's not airtight, right? But you can absolutely trace John Sullivan's actions with Ashley Babbitt being shot because he was the one who created a situation where there were no cops there in between Ashley Babbitt and that window. Really, really sad. Really, really depressing. Depressing, depressing, depressing. So is this let me just ask on YouTube in the comment section, is this Cleopatra, the one who's the troll? Let me know. Let me know if she's the troll. If she is, I'll just ban her. But that clip just does it for me because she wouldn't be shot. She wouldn't be shot, in my opinion, if he hadn't forced all the other officers to clear out. Because it was bang, bang. It was one after the other. You can draw a causal link from one to the other. Incredible. Incredible. So let's go through the actual charges. We'll read those. Go to image 38. Image number 38. This is the first charge, which we just mentioned. It makes it a crime to commit or attempt to commit any act to obstruct, impede, or interfere with any law enforcement officer. So we read that one. That's the first charge. Again, what did I say? It carries a prison sentence of not more than 5 years. So that's five right there. Let's go to image number 39. Makes it a crime to knowing 18 U.S.C. section 1752A. Makes it a crime to, one, knowingly enter or remain in any restricted building or grounds without lawful authority to do so. Two, knowingly and with intent to impede or disrupt the orderly conduct of government business or official functions. Engage in disorderly or disruptive conduct in or within such proximity to any restricted building or grounds. Yada, yada, yada. Three, knowingly and with the intent to impede or disrupt orderly conduct of government business or official functions. Obstruct or impede ingress or egress to or from any restricted building or grounds. Or three, knowingly engage in any act of physical violence against any person or property in any restricted building or ground. So they can get him on a couple things. They can get him on when he broke the window and said, oops, I broke that. They can get him on that one. They can get him on the fact that he was standing in front of a door and the people on the other side of the door couldn't get out. They can get him on that, right? They could get him on the fact that he was in there, presumably to impede the conduct of government business. They can get him on that one, and they can also get him on part one, the fact that he remained in a restricted building or grounds without the lawful authority to do so. He checks off all four. It's literally, it can be one of the four, and he just checked off all four. So that's the second one. I believe that this is the one that if he had a deadly weapon, then it might be up to 10 or 15 years. I don't remember. I was looking at it earlier. Let's go to image number 40. This is the third charge that he's facing, which is found in USC section 5104E2D. Makes it a crime for an individual or group of individuals to willfully and knowingly A, enter or remain on the floor of either the House of Congress or any cloakroom or lobby adjacent to the room, and then they say other parts of the building, unless authorized to do so pursuant to rules adopted or an authorization given by that House. B, enter or remain in the gallery of either House of Congress in violations of the rules governing admission to the gallery. C, with the intent to disrupt the orderly conduct of official business, enter or remain in any room in any of the Capitol buildings set aside or designated for use thereof. D, utter loud, threatening, or abusive language, or engage in disorderly or disruptive conduct in any place in the grounds or in any of the Capitol buildings with the intent to impede, disrupt, or disturb. E, obstruct, impede passage through or within the grounds of any Capitol buildings. F, engage in any act of physical violence of the ground or any of the Capitol buildings. G, parade, demonstrate, or picket in any of the Capitol buildings. So this is, he checks off a couple of these. He checks off a couple of these. But this is the same thing. So when people go into a hearing room and they stand up and they protest, this is what they tend to get slapped with. Most people don't actually go to trial. Like when you see Code Pink at these hearings, when they protest, as long as they're not causing any violence, they usually get booked. They plead down, they're out. But this one does have teeth. You can go to jail for a while. So he's facing these three charges. By my count, whether or not he had that dangerous weapon on him, that would determine whether it is 15 plus years. But it's still a lot of years. Now, will he be charged? I don't know. We've seen a lot of examples of leftists not being charged when conservatives are. Like, remember 4 years ago, the riots at Trump's inauguration? I was there. I remember the smell of smoke. It hit my face when they burned all the garbage, all the trash cans. They actually committed riotous acts, the left, on Trump's inauguration day. I believe most of them were let go. They had the charges dropped in the interest of reconciliation or whatever their flawed logic was at the time. I'm wondering whether John Sullivan is going to actually be tried and they're going to throw the book at him, or if they're going to buy his act that he's just there to film it. But I'll say this. He makes a mention that he is a journalist. And the Constitution does not stipulate what is and is not a journalist. We've seen this for a while. And Mr. Producer, I'm going to ask you to do a little research right now on the side. Right now, see if you can pull up a clip. It is Dianne Feinstein complaining about the First Amendment. I'll see if I can find it myself, but saying that the First Amendment should be permitted. Dianne Feinstein, First Amendment. It was in a committee meeting hearing. See if you can find it. If not, that's fine. I'll try and find it for tomorrow's podcast. Basically, in this clip, Dianne Feinstein wants to regulate the First Amendment to have some bloggers, some journalists be real journalists, and other people who are just lowly bloggers not be protected under the First Amendment. That for some reason you have to actually be licensed or permitted in order to engage in journalism. That's not the case. That might be the case in certain private events where you need to have press credentials and you need to be credentialed through the event. That might even be the case in DC. I don't know their specific statutes, but under the federal constitution and under federal law, there is no requirement that you actually have press credentials. There's no like governing body that hands out press credentials, right? I mean, you can be part of a press organization that gives them out, but it's not something that, it's not like a concealed carry permit where you apply and you get it. They claimed that he wasn't a legitimate journalist. Let's see if we can go back to the original one. Which one was it? I think it was, let's go back to image 27. Right in the middle of that second page, Mr. Brewster, go to image 27. Sullivan claimed to be an activist and a journalist that filmed protests and riots, but admitted that he did not have any press credentials. This infuriates me. Not that he isn't getting what he deserves, but it's not a requirement that you be credentialed press in order to engage in constitutionally protected journalism. It pisses me off that this is even there. But they're building the case. They're building the case. That's how, instead of doing what I did, show you all of the pre-planning he did and all the posing with his guns and stuff, they're making the case that he's not a real journalist by saying he isn't credentialed. I think that's dangerous. I think that's a really dangerous precedent to set. But I mean, that's obviously where they're going to go with it. Ms. Brewster, let me know if you ever find that video of Dianne Feinstein. Oh, actually, let me just assert Dianne Feinstein video blogging. Let's see if we can find it. It's from a while ago. It's from a real long time ago. I'm pretty sure it was Dianne Feinstein. I'll find it for tomorrow. But that concerns me. This whole thing concerns me. This obviously, I'm not concerned that he is now going to be facing federal charges that are pretty steep. What's concerning is that there are still people out there making the claim that there were no Antifa types involved. I guarantee you that when we publish this, that we will get fact checked, and we have to fight that. We're going to fight the hell out of this fact check if we get fact checked for this, because that's why I went through such lengths to show you everything involved, all of his posts, everything, just like we did for that guy Eric months ago. Not going to mention his last name. Went through posts and then presented our opinion on what those posts mean. It is in our opinion that John Sullivan is not a legitimate journalist. He was not there for a journalistic reason. He was there to incite something. He was there to participate in a counter protest, which is very counterproductive. He prepared by dressing like a Trump supporter. He then got in with a CNN photojournalist or whatever you want to call her. They celebrated that we did it. And then, as we just covered with the affidavit, he is heard on video, not only inciting more violence and more property destruction, but interfering with policemen doing their job, and likely one of the contributing factors behind Ashley Babbitt being shot. Really sad. So Mr. Producer Josh says he thinks he found the video. So I didn't give him a lot to work with. Mr. Producer Josh, let's play as I believe this is Dianne Feinstein doubting whether bloggers should have First Amendment protections. Let's see if he found the right video. Let's go ahead and play that video, Josh.
Mr. Chairman, first of all, I'd like to thank
Senator
Durbin and his staff. You've been a good and loyal partner in this for 4 years now. And I'd like to thank Senator Schumer for being willing and his people, who are terrific, to sit down and see if we couldn't work this out. Let me explain why I think this amendment is needed. I've had long-standing concerns that the language in the bill as introduced would grant a special privilege to people who really aren't reporters at all, who have no professional qualifications whatsoever. The fundamental issue behind this amendment is, should this privilege apply to anyone? To a 17-year-old who drops out of high school, buys a website for $5, and starts a blog? Or should it apply to journalists, to reporters, who have bona fide credentials? This bill is described as a reporter shield bill, so I believe it should be applied to real reporters. The attorney-client privilege applies to attorneys, not any non-legal advisor. The spousal privilege applies to spouses, not to boyfriends and girlfriends. As I described the last time this committee passed this legislation, this could have been interpreted to cover hate websites, like that of the neo-Nazi organization, the National Socialist Movement, or even Senate press secretaries. So I am very grateful that the Media Coalition and Senator Schumer worked cooperatively with Senator Durbin and me to make sure that the bill doesn't do that. So this amendment effectively sets up a test for establishing bona fide credentials that make one a legitimate journalist. The first part of our amendment, page 5,
Excellent research, Josh. Right as you played it, some of the commenters found it too. Excellent research. I didn't give you a lot to go on, but you still found it. That was Dianne Feinstein years ago trying to introduce, amendment didn't pass, introduced an amendment to claim that just because you start a blog and you're writing your political feelings doesn't make you a journalist. Well, that's a very dangerous thought. And it really shows what the Democrat Party stands for. And yeah, I'm sure Dianne Feinstein wouldn't consider us to be a journalist. I consider myself more to be a podcast host, I don't know, opinion journalist. I mean, right now we're doing real journalism. So I'll put that hat on today. But she would absolutely not want us to have First Amendment protections, which is what's really scary. And we see that happening with Twitter, with Facebook, with everyone trying to take down anything that disagrees with them. That was born out of a lot of the same hatred that we saw from these early Democrat hearings. So again, we'll open up the phone line. Anyone wants to call in? We've been dealing with a lot of trolls on the phone lines today. I'm seeing a lot of curse words in the YouTube comment section. Cleopatra, I'm just gonna ban you. Sorry. Actually, I'm gonna put you in timeout. You're in timeout, Cleopatra. 888-441-1121 if you want to call in. If you can get in past the trolls, apparently Miss Producer Josh is having is overwhelmed by troll calls. So hopefully we can get you through. If not, we'll definitely take calls tomorrow. Mr. Brewster Josh just messaged me saying that there's so many people calling from anonymous numbers, which is usually a good sign that they're trying to hide their true intentions. Actually, that's not true. There's legitimate reasons to have an anonymous number, but this one probably isn't it. Let's go ahead and let's look at Jaden X's Twitter account. Put up my screen, Mr. Producer. And again, not doxing him, we got this account from publicly available federal government affidavit for a arrest warrant. This is straight from his Twitter account. So let's scroll down a little bit, see what he's up to. He hasn't deleted his Twitter account yet. So he's talking about him. He retweeted a guy pleading guilty to providing support for ISIS about doxing. He posted video from outside the Capitol, right? And then this is what really pissed me off. So we saw that image earlier of him helping the Trump supporter, presumably the Trump supporter, climb up the wall. Let's put that image up again. Let's go to image 32. I believe image 32 is the right one. Yeah, so you can see right there on the top, he is helping someone climb up the wall. He is an accessory to whatever they want to classify that event at the Capitol. He's absolutely accessory. He helped that guy climb up the wall that he wasn't allowed to climb up. Let's take that video down. He then turns around and takes a picture. Take down the video, the picture, Mr. Producer. He then, on his Twitter, Trump supporters scaled the wall at the United States Capitol. So he is an active participant in helping make it happen. And then he runs around, takes a picture. He probably didn't take it. He just took a picture to basically denigrate anyone who did it. But he was the guy who helped them climb over, or at least one person climb over. So, I mean, this is how phony this is. He thinks himself to be some kind of activist, but it's just so circular. He's helping facilitate the thing that he then uses to promote. I mean, the media does this all the time, right? The media does this all the time. They set up conservatives. They try and make conservatives out to be crazy. And then they use that to go after them. He's doing the same thing. I'm going to keep scrolling. Let's go back to it, Mr. Brewster. Let's keep looking at what he has to say. Oh, so here we go. Jaden X posting January 17th. Trump supporters all over the nation plan acts of terrorism by storming all capitals and overthrowing our democracy. Find my comprehensive list of flyers. So let's look at his flyer, shall we? So he says, this is the flyer. Looks like you made that yourself, John. He said, this is the flyer. Now that looks like you made it yourself. It looks like you made that one. Yeah, no, it looks like you made that one too. This looks like he took a couple classes. And here is, and he's including the one we covered the other day. That's straight out of a Black Lives Matter book. Yeah, no, this is, he's so full of it. I mean, we just talked about how he propped up and he told people to go to these pages so that they could be used to launch the coup. And now he's doing it again on Twitter. And then you see the FBI come out and say, we have intelligence that there's going to be armed insurrection. It's idiots like this who are propping it up. Idiots like this who are propping it up. New video shows Antifa supporter and videographer Jaden X was already in security, ready to video when police let in the crowd. Yeah, interesting that he's up there before most people actually got in. Again, we can go ahead and take that down. The question of the hour is, how can Donald Trump have incited something when one of the first people up there was an Antifa guy? I don't think Donald Trump incited him. You can't have Donald Trump inciting a riot if it's pre-planned. Doesn't work that way. And I want to know about this CNN lady. I want to know about this CNN lady. What's her name? Jade Sacker. She's literally in there. Literally in there saying that we did it. We did it. Has CNN come out with a response? Let's see if CNN has said anything about Jade Sacker. Let's see. Jade Sacker. See if CNN has said anything. Oh, wait a minute. PolitiFact coming out with a new fact check. Oh, we gotta put up my screen. Just 2 days ago, Antifa provoked the shooting of Ashley Babbitt at the Capitol. No evidence that Antifa incited Ashley Babbitt shooting. I literally just showed it to you. Straight from the affidavit, the police officers left after this guy, Jordan Sullivan, told them to flee for their lives. After they left, Ashley Babbitt took their place, started climbing through the window, she's shot. The officer who shot her probably could also hear John Sullivan shouting that police officers are going to get shot if they don't leave, or killed or hurt if they don't leave. So, but this is don't worry, PolitiFact coming with a preemptive fact check that there's no evidence. Even though there is plenty. And this is just one person. Well, actually two. You have the Jade Sacker. And the other guy who in that comment section circled himself in the crowd. So we've got three. We've now, in this one show, identified three people who were there for nefarious purposes, not Trump supporters, there to either instigate or to help contribute to what was going on. Three. In one two-hour episode, we found three false flaggers. I mean, imagine if the full weight of the federal government actually tried to do the same. Because remember, the FBI last week came out with a big statement. There is no evidence of any Antifa involvement. So that's technically true. At the time, they had no evidence. But the fact checkers use that as this is fact. It is irrevocable. This will be true forever. And that's how a lot of the fact checkers structure their fact checks. They try and take a lack of evidence as proof of a negative, which isn't necessarily true. It just isn't, they don't have the proof of the positive yet. And we see this all the time with lead stories. No evidence of Antifa involvement. Blah, blah, blah. Well, no, there is. This guy is now behind bars. Actually, he might have been bailed out. I don't know. I don't want to speak out of turn. You know, this is fun. Put up image four. This is his mugshot. We showed it in the first hour. That looks like the face of someone who thought he was going to get away with it and then realized he made a horrible, horrible mistake. Again, taken yesterday as he was being booked in. There'll be more. I mean, now that there is one that we can definitively say there's at least one anti-fascist, whether or not he is involved with an Antifa group or not, he self-identified as anti-fascist and BLM. So there is at least one that we can now for sure put a name to. They can no longer simply fact check and say that suggesting there were any is false. But they'll try. I guarantee you will probably be fact checked for putting this out. I guarantee that that's probably why we're now under 200 viewers on Facebook right now. Really sad that DLive has suspended the Lemons. Just as I finally figured out what the Lemons are all about, they suspended us from doing Lemons. I don't get that. I hope it's temporary, because I know that they probably have some people who are, I know some people on DLive are getting banned for what they say. We're not really that provocative. Like, we're going to DLive not because we want to say anything hateful or anything, but because we're not allowed to say very benign things on these other platforms without risking being banned. So it's very sad that we're being lumped in. I'll have to see if we can maybe get out of that. I fear that we won't. But if anyone has another suggestion for a stream platform that won't treat us like criminals, we are absolutely all ears. And maybe we'll start a gaming. It sounds like that they're going to be doing anything that is politics related. Maybe I'll play some video games and just talk about politics while I play video games. I don't know if that's a workaround. it's really sad, but
I think you found your format. I think you found your format: video games and politics.
Yeah, that's what everyone really wants, right? Our average demographic is, like, I looked it up, it's between 30 and 65. I don't think starting to play Fortnite.
No, they'll love it.
It's going to really do it for our audience.
Once you explain what it is, they're going to be like, oh my gosh, I don't know where I've been my whole life.
Yeah. People asking if Rumble has streaming. Rumble does not have streaming. There's rumors that Parler might have streaming if Parler ever comes up back online, but they don't have that yet. I've heard that Gab has streaming. Gab TV, I tried to sign up for it, but Gab's been so overloaded that basically their servers wouldn't let me sign in. I'll have to check that out. If we go with Gab TV, in order to keep DLive, we'd have to probably sign up for a service that lets us stream to a fourth place, because right now our software only lets us stream to three. But that's definitely doable. So I'll have to check out Gab TV. Anyone else with advice, go ahead and post it in the comment section below. So the last 2 hours, I think we've covered a lot of ground, right? We did it in a way that we can't be accused of doxing anyone. We can't be accused of sharing information that we shouldn't share. We can't be accused of making claims that are not supported by evidence, something the left loves to do. We did it the right way. In my opinion, this is how it should be done, piece by piece. It's not exactly the fastest way, right? It's much easier just to make a 5-minute show. This guy's Antifa, he's bad, call it a day. I think we did this the right way. Let me know what you think about it. It's definitely a way that protects us legally, protects the show from being shut down for hate speech or anything like that, which is always a good thing. I was talking with Joe earlier today. We're probably going to do an election fraud related episode in the future. We're trying to figure out how we're going to word it, because Facebook and YouTube have very tight restrictions on what people can and cannot say. YouTube's even stricter. YouTube's the strictest. You can't even make a claim. You'll get taken down immediately. So for that episode, we probably won't stream on YouTube. So we'll make sure that we make that announcement in the text that will probably that day only be live on Facebook or DLive. But just keep an eye out for that. We're also working through and putting together an episode on education. As much as we want to keep talking about this, we have to talk about the other things plaguing the country too. So we'll probably do at least 1 hour talking a little bit about what we also talked about yesterday, which is education, how e-learning is terrible, how there's the indoctrination, all that. So that's going to be coming next week sometime. We're also working on getting a couple of guests. We have a couple of sponsors lining up, as long as they don't get scared away by my horrible hate speech or whatever. We have a couple of sponsors lining up. So stay tuned for that. Yes, we will have ads. I'll have to read ads. If you like the product, definitely check it out. It definitely will help the show if they can tie it back to the show. But you will probably have to hear ads in both of the hours. So just be prepared for that. It's how we're going to support the show and grow the show. It's a necessary part of getting as big as we are. We're back in the 50s, it looks like, for Apple Podcasts. They've been playing funny business with us. I mean, we have 3 times as many downloads on Apple Podcasts as we did the last time we were number 8, and yet now we're down to 50. So they're playing games with it. We're trying to figure it out. We should be much higher. But if you haven't already, make sure you head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a good review. We are starting to get some trolls leaving us bad reviews. I don't really care about them particularly, but I'd like to bury them. So at least when I go there, it's not the first thing I see. So make sure you check that out. Well, I've gone through everything I had to get through today. Ms. Producer, do we still have leftists clogging up our phone lines?
Actually, they've stopped, which is kind of scary because phones stopped ringing about 15 minutes altogether. So I can't explain that. Usually they are just pounding away at our phone lines with the anonymous numbers. And I've actually had a guest call screener today. And a few of the calls he got was just people filibustering the line. All they were doing was talking about the direction the show should go, how news media is off the wall, but yet none of them were making any points. So they're getting very, very smart about what to say to the call screeners. Now we're picking up on that, right? Because, you know, my coaching to him and the things I was listening to, it's a nice attempt. I mean, I like to see that they're trying to use modern politics or even old politics in a filibuster fashion to try to make sure they tie me up. So we'll get through that one because if you're on too long, I will just hang up on you and you know who you are.
Yeah.
Because that's what I'm here to do. So it's interesting.
Great job with it. Keep it up. I don't think you've let a troll through on the calls in a while, which is really good.
Well, I start to recognize the numbers, the names, and stuff like that. Doesn't mean that they don't get smarter. It just means I have to sit there and hammer them with questions. Because if they can't get through me, they're certainly not going to survive you, right? I mean,
yeah,
that's the way I see it.
Yeah. Well, it's great.
The phone's ringing now. I'm gonna hold on. Don't go anywhere.
All right. Well, answer it, and we'll see if we can. We're getting towards the end, but if it's a real caller, we can take them. People, Caddy in the YouTube comment section, responding to me saying that show won't be on YouTube. Max, that's not right. You all asked us to get off Facebook. I did, and you take YouTube away. We're not talking about taking YouTube away permanently. We're saying that for that one episode, if we want to cover that topic, doing so on YouTube as a platform would be a violation of their terms of service and would get our complete page, our complete channel on YouTube taken away. So what we're looking at, we don't want to say that we're never going to talk about that issue ever again. So what we're looking at is having it that day not be broadcast on YouTube, be broadcast on one of the other two, Facebook or DLive, so that we can avoid getting a complete permaban on YouTube and not violate their terms of service. It's not abandoning YouTube. It's just saying in that one instance, on that one episode, when we talk about that issue, which we're not even allowed to talk about, it won't be broadcast on YouTube most likely. Unless we can figure out a way to talk about it that won't result in a ban. But Joe sometimes can get fired up. And frankly, he should. It's a really important topic. We probably just, to make sure that we're safe, not do it on YouTube, even if it was completely, completely scripted. So I'll check the messages, see if Mr. Producer, if the caller is legitimate. If we can, we'll put him through. If not, we'll probably end the show for today.
We do have a legitimate caller now. The phones blew up, so I'm going to give you I'm going to give you... All right,
we take a couple calls.
I'm going to give you Zach one moment.
All right, we have Zach. Long-time listener, long-time caller. Zach on the line, just saw on Facebook, he said he got off his work call. Zach, how's it going?
Good. I'm sorry I missed the middle of it, but today was a super good episode, and it definitely ties in when you're saying Joe wants to do an education one. You have the research powers to be able to see what Twitch and Discord has actually done to the younger generation, because that was the thing that kind of ran through my mind as I was listening to the entire episode today. Is just, it's the younger generation. Amazon owns Twitch. I used to stream on Twitch at one point, and it has become a brainwashing platform that basically people can get into these little tiny holes of people and get influenced because everyone around them is saying that information. And it's a very dangerous tool that no one's really, parents aren't even aware of it. That's kind of the other aspect of it, is they don't know who their kids are talking to online. They're just their gaming
buddies. They think their kids are just watching someone play Fortnite, and it turns out he's basically spewing his political propaganda or dogma on them. I was going to bring it up today. I didn't, because I couldn't get the video downloaded in time. While we keep Zach online, Ms. Bruiser, put my screen up. This was a TMZ report. Florida teacher was fired for telling students Capitol riot was the work of Antifa. So this was a substitute teacher who apparently out of nowhere just started telling the students that the Antifa was involved with the protests or the riot, whatever you want to call it. She got fired because apparently that was a lie. But as we just talked about today, it's not a lie. Whether or not it was majority Antifa or not, there were Antifa people involved. So she got fired for telling something that at the time was fact-checked as a lie, but now is known to be true. But she got fired because one of the students videotaped her and posted online. So they never do that.
The difference between that lady that called yesterday, Max, is a perfect double standard of that, because she's like, I didn't want to cause any waves or make my kid get attacked by the teacher, and I didn't want the teacher to get fired, but I just wanted the principal to know, like, blaming Trump for what happened at the Capitol is not okay in the classroom. And that lady wasn't fired. Yeah. They did a little press release and she still has her job. Like, what?
Yeah. Yeah. It's, it's crazy because you're exactly right. You can only be left. You cannot be right. If you say anything that is even remotely right-leaning, you get boycotted, banned. If you're a left-leaning teacher, you were able to talk all day. And no one even picks up their phone to videotape it. The only time it ever really comes out is now with this e-learning. The fact that the parents are listening to the BS on their kids' laptops and they can actually hear. It's like most of the time, kids aren't videotaping their teachers when they say things bad about Trump or anything. But it's only when these teachers come forward and say, oh, there was Antifa involved, they get fired. I don't know if she has. Someone commented. I don't know if she has a lawsuit for that. I don't know. They probably can sue her whether she's factually correct or wrong. They can sue her for the fact that she was I think she was teaching like language arts. Yeah, she was language arts class, a middle school language arts class, talking about this. Probably shouldn't have been talking about that, but the fact that she did certainly shouldn't have been a fireable offense.
It is strange. I mean, the kids are the next generation, and everybody in chat is always like, what do we do? What do we do? How do we fix this? It's talking with your kids, man. You guys got parents can no longer, it's just like the old school Republicans where it's like, I don't want to talk to you about politics because I get heated, and then they start yelling and stuff. But people have to start having conversations with their kids about values and what they believe, because we're losing. I mean, tech is becoming the parents, because parents are becoming detached from their kids' lives.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, in fairness, it's so easy now to plop your kid down and say, okay, you're going to watch Sesame Street. We're going to stream it through whatever streaming service and just go. Like tech has, as anyone who's a parent knows, that tech has presented itself to be a very good partner, they claim, in helping get through this pandemic. But you can already see they're starting to inject it. When I put on Disney Plus if I want my son to watch Pocahontas, you cannot watch Pocahontas without first getting through a disclaimer from Disney saying that these are aged productions that do not accurately depict the Native American people. They're adding disclaimers to everything, right? So my son can't read, so he won't really get it. But lots of kids will. And they're already injecting this leftism into streamable content, into things like you mentioned with Twitch. People are going to be shocked when they look and realize just how much leftism is being injected into what their kids are doing in their free time.
And who's behind it? Because Amazon owns Twitch.
Yeah.
I mean, they bought out Twitch like 3 or 4 years ago or something like that.
Can you believe that? That's all right. I'll have Mr. Minister. I'll have him bleep you out. Mr. Just that happened.
Max,
at,
you were
like,
warned. Max, or Zach, you were warned. You were warned, Zach.
I'm sorry. Right at the very end. I'm so sorry.
Right at the end.
I swear like right a sailor, so I have to try my best to not when I call.
Well,
but it's crazy. You. So that was the one aspect that I wanted to kind of contribute for today. So
yeah. Well, I do appreciate the call, and don't worry, we'll make sure that we bleep that. But we are going to let you go before you start cursing anymore.
Sounds good. Have a good one, guys.
All right. Have a good one. That's a joke. We're not letting him off because he would curse. We're letting him off because we're at the end of our 2-hour show. Do we have any other callers, Mr. Producer?
No, none that I can give you.
Okay.
How's that?
Okay. So I feel fine with ending the show now. We've gone through a lot. I thought it would take longer than it did, but we did go rapid fire through a lot of the stuff. If you like the show, make sure you share it with people, because the mainstream media is going to do everything they can to try and discount what we just showed you. And everything I just showed you was accurate. Everything I just showed you was truthful. And the analysis that we provided was absolutely factual. So make sure you hit that share button if you haven't already on Facebook. Make sure you hit the share button on YouTube. Share it to people. And on DLive, make sure you follow us. Hopefully they give us back our lemons. Again, right as I figure out what lemons are all about, they demonetize us. Oh, that's my luck. That's my luck. Well, that's going to be it for this edition of the Conservative Daily Podcast. If you like the podcast, we go live Monday through Saturday, 2 p.m. Eastern on Facebook, YouTube, and DLive. I don't think on Saturday I'm going to be able to go live on DLive. I think it's just going to have to be Facebook and YouTube because I can only go live from two places on my home PC. But we'll go live for 1 hour tomorrow. I still have to pick a topic. If you have a suggestion for what history topic we should talk about, leave a comment in the comment section and I'll read it. That's going to be tomorrow. So make sure you like and follow our Facebook page. Make sure you subscribe, hit the bell for notifications on YouTube, and make sure you follow us on DLive as well. Also, make sure you check out our audio version of the podcast. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Podbean, all great places. Even if you watch us live, make sure that you subscribe on those places. That way you download. That way we can prove the numbers. Advertisers don't care about how many people watch us on Facebook or YouTube. They care about audio downloads because that's apparently the gold standard in the industry. So if you haven't already, make sure you subscribe over there. And if you have an iPhone, MacBook, iPad, make sure you leave us a good review on Apple Podcasts as well. We are on Rumble. Some of the videos for whatever reason aren't getting posted, but I'll make sure that today's goes up there on Rumble. Rumble.com/user/conservative daily. Once Parler comes up, we'll be back on at Conservative Daily over on Parler. If you like the show and you want to get text messages, alerts when we go live, because you don't trust Facebook or YouTube to give you the notification, you can text the word freedom to 89517, and you'll get that text alert. There's also a link to join our email newsletter. And if you haven't already, check us out on DLive, DLive.tv/conservative daily, all one word. Well, that's going to be it for this edition of the podcast. Again, my name is Max McGuire. Remember, everyone, that the fight to take back our country is not over, but the only way we win is if we all stand up and fight together.